Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Not with me today is Daniel McAdams. Matter of fact, he's with us by telephone for this program. So, Daniel, welcome to the program. I'm glad we were able to make a connection.
Thanks, Dr. Paul. I'm sorry I'm not there with you. I'm a little under the weather.
Oh, well, well, take care. You must have a terrible boss making you work on a day like this. But you're your own boss, so you make your own decision. But okay, we'll get you through. But you're vitally needed because guess what? We're going to talk about foreign policy. Things are changing. Of course, we could talk about the impeachment. That's pretty critical, and you know that's very serious. But we can't find any consistencies there. But in foreign policy, what's neat about it, they're always consistent. Republicans and Democrats, they're always doing the wrong thing. You know, it's never non-intervention. It's fibbing a little bit and making pretense that, oh, yeah, let's bring some troops home. And then at the same time, they're saying about bringing the troops home, and this applies to the current administration. You know, they get a lot of heat. Remember, we didn't hear too long ago when Trump was going to bring the troops home from Syria. Boy, he got the heat from those strict constitutionalists. They said, hey, he can't do this under the Constitution. We're supposed to send these troops. I'm exaggerating, of course. But the announcement just recently was that the Trump is sending 14,000 more troops, to the Middle East. And there's already 60,000 there. And I don't know where the war is going to come from. But they know it's the old enemy that we have to, you know, go after. And that, of course, is Iran. And that's acceleration because in the last almost a year, we've already sent, 7,000 more over there. Now there's 14,000. And all I see, Daniel, is the fact that this is looking for trouble. This whole idea that, you know, it's a wise choice for deterrence. We have to deter those Iranians. And that's why we put on sanctions. That's why we punish them and drive them to their knees, and they'll beg and plead and throw out their leaders. That's deterrence. So this is announced that we do need deterrence. We need stronger deterrence, and deterrence will teach those Iranians a lesson. Well, I'm not very optimistic about that. I assume that you're not that optimistic that it's going to work either.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the removal of troops from Syria, because don't you remember, we were supposed to have a genocide of the Kurds, you know. Oh my goodness, if Trump takes a single troop out, it'll be a genocide. Well, where's the genocide? You know, they just announced the completion of our withdrawal from those areas, except for the troops left behind. No genocide. In fact, they ran and made a deal. So it's as usual, you know, when everyone was yelling at you for being such a monster, for not supporting or keeping our troops there, they lied as they usually do. But, you know, the big question about this additional 14,000 troops is what's the purpose? They say it's to, quote, counter Iran. But Iran is a very, very large country. It has a large population. It's a sophisticated technical country. They have S-300s, the most sophisticated anti-missile and anti-aircraft batteries that the U.S. would have ever faced if they do go to war. So what does 14,000 more troops do? That's the big question. In a military sense, what does it mean? And I don't think anyone has answered the question. I certainly haven't seen it.
No, and they're not likely to give an answer because they will think up something else to deflect it and distract. And that's, I think, what's going on all the time, like the impeachment is a distraction from some of this mischief that they're involved in. But the one thing is we know these troops have been going, and these new ones probably will go into Saudi Arabia. Now, that to me, I think, is very, very dangerous, unwise, unnecessary, and all these things. Because, of course, we've mentioned many times on our program that troops in the Saudi soil help motivate the radical jihad, you know, to attack us on 9/11, because that the Saudi Peninsula is seen as holy land. So, yes, we're going to put more troops there, and there's not been much talk about that, but I think this could be a real thorn in the side of many Islamists over there, and it's just going to stir up more trouble. But the argument is that we have to prepare to stop the Iranian aggression. See, they're the aggressors, just like the Russians are the aggressors. So we go, you know, a couple miles away from home, you know, a few thousand miles away, dozens of thousands of miles away, and we go over there and we surround the country. We probably have 100 nukes pointing at them, and of course, the Iranians are going to be the aggressors. And you know, the memories seem to be so short. Just think of what we did with the coup way back in 1973. And what about in the 80s when we propagated this war with the Iraqis against the Iranians? And how stupid the whole thing is now it looks like we're going to have, you know, be on the side of the Iraqis fighting the Iranians. But I think this whole idea that you can threaten people and get your way, drop big bombs and have your way, and they'll forgive us and say, well, they didn't kill any American soldiers, so the American people may ignore it. But I'll tell you what, the countries we invade and the problems we create for them, I don't think they forget about it. I think they're very much aware of it. I think they're getting tired of it, too.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad you mentioned the impeachment, because that's one of the things I was thinking while I was writing down some notes for today's program. Where's Congress? The president is sending yet another 14,000 troops potentially into a combat situation, and Congress is absolutely absent. And the reason is, as you always say, because they both agree, both parties agree. When it comes to actually doing what they're supposed to be doing, both parties are AWOL, you know. So, and the other thing you mentioned is, where are the troops going to go? They're going to go to Saudi Arabia, like you said, with all of the dangers of doing them there. But why are they going to Saudi Arabia? Well, our good friends Iraq, who we liberated a few years ago, they don't want to see a single other American troop. In fact, they want the troops that are there to be out of Iraq. They don't want them there anymore. So we've worn out our welcome throughout the Middle East, except, of course, among the two countries that want us to fight their battles, which are Saudi Arabia and Israel. They love to have American troops fight and die because they don't like Iran. But, you know, we have to ask ourselves, is it really in our interest to fight someone else's wars?
Right. You know, and I guess we should be surprised, too, that Trump's getting support from the Pentagon. And there's no real resistance from the Democrats sending these troops in. They're worried about protecting the Constitution and impeaching Trump. That's how schizophrenic the whole thing is. But the Pentagon has an explanation, you know, for why they have to go in there, because they said that the Iranians may attack U.S. interests. Now, isn't that a stretch? What does it mean, U.S. interest? And what does this mean, may? Well, maybe they won't, you know. But anyway, we have to prepare for it because they may. And U.S. interests are unlimited. And, of course, our enemy is unlimited because, you know, when they compare the different countries that breed terrorists, the Iranians are the most terroristic, you know. The Saudis, they're nice, kind people, and they wouldn't think about that. And yet there's a lot of people sort of forgotten about 9/11 and who really participated in how that all came about. But the support from the Pentagon is same as usual. And I guess a few of those generals go from the warmongering companies, you know, the weapons industry, the airplane industry, back and forth. So they're the expert. And surprise, therefore, building and continuing to have an enemy to be fearful of, because there may be a war someday. And guess what? The budget isn't going up. So this is something that, the budget is going up. It isn't going down. They're not cutting. No fiscal conservatives there. But I think that the Pentagon is exactly where you would expect it to be. But unfortunately, the occasional good general is hard to find these days.
Yeah, they're all political, of course, because they want to get that next job on CNN or Fox or wherever. But, you know, a Pentagon official and Undersecretary of Defense, John Rood, he got everyone on edge the other day when he said, as you pointed out, Iran may attack U.S. targets in the region. And he said, quote, U.S. remains concerned about potential Iranian aggression. So here we send troops thousands of miles away. We have bases all around Iran. We move thousands more well-armed troops right onto their border, and they're committing aggression if they do something about it. The other thing that he said is that we're very concerned because Iran is moving its forces and weapons. well, gee, I wonder why.
Right. You know, I think this example here is a good opening to compare conservative intervention versus liberal intervention. Because right now, Trump says, well, we have to be careful with the budget. You know, we're overspending, which is just talk. But he said that there are 750,000 people on food stamps that are capable of going to work, and we have good employment now. So he wants to take them off, which I'd be all for. I'd have a lot of trouble not voting for that. And yet I've always complained and criticized, if you ever want to work to sanity in Washington, you don't work on food stamp and health care for kids if you want to get your fiscal house in order. So at the time he wants to cut food stamps from 750,000 people, what he wants to do is he's really pushing right now $250 million additional weaponry to Ukraine, the place where there's all this fighting and fuming on who should be on which side. So, yes, more money for weaponry, cut food stamps, which will never be cut, but it's enough for the Republicans to do some political damage to themselves. So I think I'm a more practical politician than they are. Even though I would cut it, I would try to make the point that that's not the way to do it if we're going to work our way out of it. Of course, my assumption is we're not going to work our way out of it, and we are going to have the calamity just for this reason, because you have interventionism, you have the conservative type, and you have the liberal type.
Yeah, exactly. And there are a lot of moral reasons why the food stamp program, things of that nature, are immoral. But the idea, just think, if Trump hadn't lobbed those 100 Tomahawk missiles into Syria based on a bogus claim that Assad gassed his own people, I bet that would pay for that 750,000 food stamps and then some, just wasting money blowing up the desert. Of course, then Raytheon wouldn't be in the clover either if that was the case. So, but, you wonder, what is the goal? What is the goal with sending U.S. troops over? 28,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, that's not enough for a ground war against Iran. Not at all. So you think about it, and the neocons, I think, are desperate for Iran to attack. They're desperate. They want a provocation. They want Iran to do something. Because if Iran, or a false flag, attacked the U.S. or U.S. troops or U.S. boat or what have you, then they could say, and even Trump could say, see, it's working. Maximum pressure is working. Iran is desperate. They're attacking us. And what this is really is a cover for the absolute failure of Trump's Iran policy. Things are much worse with Iran now than they would have been if he had just stayed in the deal. So they're desperate to cover the fact that he is pursuing a really failed policy on Iran.
I think there's already been a warning, exactly the definition of U.S. interests, or at least another example. And that, of course, is the point that one reason why we have to really be serious about taking care of Iran is the fact that they put missiles in Iraq. And but the question is where did they come from? They're not even sure if they weren't our missiles that we gave to some of our temporary allies someplace. So, yes, there may be in there. But it's beside the point, too, because if there is a conflict, between those two countries, which we certainly orchestrated in the 80s, the solution there, of course, is for us to get out of the way and let those two countries work out the differences. But it's very easy to say that, if there are missiles there and they can say, oh, they're U.S. missiles or the Iranians put them there, that could be one of the false flags, or, well, we have to go in there. That's American interest. We have a big embassy there. So if there's an explosion there, that may be it. There's too many things that could go wrong. And besides, our side might not even be planning that. But you have to realize that there's unintended consequences. You don't know what the future is. There are accidents that happen, and there are some that are deliberate, the false flag. But it's just so dangerous if you want to see an explosion of another illegal, unconstitutional war. And where are the constitutionalists in Washington? You have a few on the libertarian conservative side, more so than we used to, but less and less on the liberal side. But yes, they are going to defend the Constitution. We can all rest comfortably, because once the impeachment is passed, we say, long live the Constitution as interpreted by Pelosi. Well, yeah. We'll see what happens.
And, yeah, and these, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
sir.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the claims about these missiles, as you point out, they're very vague. They appear to be baseless, but I think the point is it's a propaganda ploy. Some unnamed Pentagon official talks about missiles. It's designed to scare Americans. It's what they want to have another mobile weapons lab kind of thing to scare people. But the thing I thought when I was reading that, you know, how shocking is that? How many countries do we have our missiles in? You know, yeah. Iraq is Iran's neighbor. They're allies. They've become much closer thanks to the U.S. attack on Iraq. So if two allies that are next door neighbors have some mutual defense treaties or put missiles on each other's territory, I don't see how it could be any of our business. And if we're worried about being threatened by them, maybe we don't belong there in the first place.
Right. And, you know, another example of that is, you know, this $250 million that Trump has agreed to push through because we have to beef up the defense in eastern Ukraine because of the Russian presence there. Those people speak Russian in that part of the country, and they might not like us there, so we have to be prepared for that. At the same time, you know, here you have a territory argument that, of course, they will argue, and they will also, you know, complain about Russia. At the same time, we go 6,000 miles to get involved, and there is a difference between, you know, the border between eastern Ukraine and Russia, but not according to anybody in Washington. And there's essentially no complaining, you know, about our overall policy for the Middle East.
Yeah, that's the truth. Well, if you're ready, Dr. Paul, I'm going to just say one final point. And that's something I don't often do on the Liberty Report, so someone should mark this in the calendar. I'm going to quote Max Boot.
Oh, boy. I better listen carefully on this one.
Max Boot, who loves war more than anything else, probably more than puppy dogs, this is what he had to say. He wrote, the last time we had a flare-up with Iran, he writes that a U.S. attack on Iran would be, quote, the mother of all quagmires, a conflict that would make the Iraq War, which I now deeply regret supporting, seem like a cakewalk by comparison. So here's a guy who loves war warning that this is a disaster, and Trump is sleepwalking right into it.
Very good. And thank you, Daniel. And I think that made me think about maybe I should get Max Boot on our program and say, hey, you're coming our way. You know, that's okay. But no, I think that it shows that the definition of our foreign policy being schizophrenic. But it is true. They come up with some common sense sometime and why they change their mind or take that position and why all of a sudden they're reasonable on that issue. I don't think it's explainable because we sort of like to explain ours in an overall philosophy. And that's not, you know, very friendly to people who don't like philosophy. They like power and they like wealth and they like determination. So, and they like intervention. Of course, we don't promote that. We promote the cause of peace and prosperity, which means that we have a non-interventionist foreign policy. And we emphasize that the really serious purpose of any government, if it's to exist, is to protect the liberty of the individual. And the individual then is obligated to be responsible for himself, his friends and neighbors, and take care of themselves without using a gun that the government takes and tries to redistribute wealth or tell other people how to live. I mean, defending liberty was once a just cause in this country, and never perfect, but there's no reason why we can't, you know, reignite the love of liberty. It's still known, even though there's been ups and downs for centuries. I think this downturn of the last 100 years, I think it's due to turn around, and we should do whatever we can to turn around and show that defending liberty is a just cause. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.